Brother Ginn started the services off this week with a message from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where it said there, "Be steadfast, not movable. Be therefore steadfast, not movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." For he said, "You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Tonight we want to preach upon why we believe that labor is not in vain. Because we're looking forward to a better life, a better place. That which kept Abraham going, that which caused Moses to do what he did, that which caused Noah and many of the other saints of God to continue serving the Lord and all the adversities that they had, was that they had respect unto the recompense of the reward in Jesus Christ. Tonight, the portion of Scripture that we want to read is found in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Everybody's skipped on this. Everybody's even read my text verse. But what we preach tonight, we hope and pray, will be an encouragement to you, and maybe also an instruction that we might look forward to. You're going to have to use your faith tonight, because we're going to preach on heaven. And it's something that we do not see. We don't see it now, but we can see it by the eye of faith. Amen. Even now, rejoice in it. Notice here in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we'll start reading here in verse 32 and read through the remainder of the chapter. "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly, whilst ye were made gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly which ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me, or of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. But now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." The exhortation of the writer of the book of Hebrews exhorts us, first of all, to look back. You know, it's good to remember some things. Paul said, you know, he forgot those things that were behind, and he pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But you know, he didn't mean that we need to forget everything that has happened to us in the past. Only those things which would maybe cause pride within our hearts or cause us to be distracted from the present labor that we're engaged in. It's always good to remember what the Lord has done for you. It's always good to go back to that time when the Lord saved you and to again marvel at the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ that had been given unto you. And then he says another thing that you need to do, that you might have patience to run the race that's set before you. He says, look ahead too. Look ahead. For he says there in that portion of Scripture, he says, cast not away your confidence, and that ye have need of patience. And then he says, for yet a little while, and that shall come, he that shall come, and will not tarry. It's always good to anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Amen. It's always good to look forward to that. Amen. And to anticipate not only the coming of the Lord, but also to anticipate the blessings of God that shall be ours at His coming, and also that which we shall experience in the ages to come. It's good to consider our eternal abode. We find in the text verse which we have taken tonight, which is verse 34, it says, For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Now you just think about this a minute. These Jewish believers said, you took the plundering of your spoils with joy. Evidently, when they became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you entered into a great affliction. I'm sure that in those days, as it is even today with Orthodox Jews, that if anybody embraced Christianity, that they were probably disowned as a son, lost their inheritances. And we find that these took it joyfully. They took it joyfully. The loss of all their temporal goods as far as this world is concerned. I sometimes wonder how much we have laid our hearts upon temporal things of this world. If we could lose the things of this life, the temporal things, the temporal substances that we had worked for or maybe were entitled to as far as an inheritance, and suffer the loss of them, could we take them joyfully? Saints of old have. Saints of old have even laid down their lives joyfully. Not only the loss of their substance, but the loss of their lives. And they've done it joyfully. I think of Moses when he was in line of the throne of Egypt. The Bible tells us that he chose rather the affliction of the children of God rather than taking up the throne of Egypt to be his. For the Bible says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward that was in Christ Jesus. In other words, he looked beyond this life, looked beyond the things of this life, and he saw a better and enduring substance. And he was able to suffer the loss of all things and do it joyfully. As we said, our subject tonight is heaven, the eternal abode of God's people. Amen. For an introduction tonight, we must realize that there are more. The word heaven in the word of God is used in a very broad sense. It indicates many things. You'll find that in the creation, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on and talks about the firmament of the air that God had created, and he called it heaven. The heaven in which the birds of the air fly, the air that we breathe. We find the Bible denotes it as being heaven. And then we find that there's a second heaven that the Bible talks about. That's the ethereal space which is beyond our atmosphere, which we find holds the sun and the moon and the stars and the great expanse of space. The Bible talks about that as being heaven too, because the Lord said he set in the heaven. Amen. The sun and the moon. Amen. And then we find that the Apostle Paul tells us about a third heaven. Amen. There's also a heaven which I cannot see. And I have to laugh at these people, you know, that go off into space. And especially, you know, the first Russian astronauts or cosmonauts that were sent out, they said, whoa, we didn't see God. Well, they're not going to see God in the third heaven. That's a place beyond the reach of man's telescopes, beyond the reach of man's natural abilities to be able to perceive that it even exists. But it exists. It's a real place. The Bible says it's the heaven where God dwells. The Scriptures tell us in the book of the Psalms, it says the Lord's throne is in heaven. Jesus Christ, when he instructed us to pray, he said, pray thy my Father which art in heaven. It's the place where God dwells. It's the place where his throne is in the very heaven itself. The Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, calls it the third heaven. Amen. If you'll notice there in the 12th chapter, he talks about an experience that he had, and he says there in verse 2, he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I believe Paul was caught up in the very presence of God, and he saw things that he said was not lawful to be uttered. I believe there were things that he saw that he could not utter.
Amen.
He didn't have words to explain it. He didn't have words to even describe it. But he was caught up there, and he saw that great revelation of God. And you know, of course, that the thorn was given unto him to keep him humble.
Yeah, amen.
But we find that this is the third heaven. That's the place where God dwells. That's where his throne is. We find this is the place where Jesus Christ is right now. The God-man, the one who ascended back into the very presence of the Father after 40 days after his resurrection. This is where he lives and ministers in the tabernacle that's not made with hands. This is the place where he makes intercession for his saints.
Amen, brother.
And is continuing that great work of grace and life and work in our hearts. We find that Paul says that this is also the paradise of God now. Notice what he says also in that same 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He said in verse 3, he says, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. This is now the paradise of God. You know, it's a good thing sometimes just to take and study what the paradise of God is. You know, there was a paradise on this earth once. A place where man dwelt and found rest and fellowship with his God. It's called Eden. It's where the tree of life was. But man sinned and lost it, didn't he? He fell. We find that the paradise of God from that time, I believe, was in a place called Hades. And that might startle some of you. But I believe when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he said unto that repentant thief, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now where's that at? You know, the body of Jesus Christ laid in that tomb, but his soul wasn't there. His soul went someplace. You know, I believe where the soul of Jesus Christ went to? Went to the paradise of God. You say, where's that at? Is that in the presence of God? Is that in the third heaven? Was that at that time the third heaven? I don't believe so. I believe it was what was called Abraham's bosom. 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Remember, it talks about Lazarus, poor beggar, laid at the rich man's gate and full of sores and everything, and all he did was ate the crumbs of the rich man, and the dogs licked his sores and everything. The rich man lived sumptuously, but the Bible tells us that they both died. The rich man died and was buried, and he lifted up his eyes in hell.
Yeah. Right.
Place of Hades. Place of torments, though, wasn't it?
Amen.
And then it talks about Lazarus, carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the Bible tells us that the rich man was able to see Lazarus. He looked across that great abyss and he said unto Father Abraham, he says, Lazarus, have him come over and just dip his finger in a water and that he might touch my tongue. He says, I'm in torments in this flame.
Right.
And remember what the Lord, or Abraham said? He said, son, he says, there's a great gulf fixed between me and you.
Yeah.
He says, no man can come from thence to here, no man can come from here to there.
Amen.
I tell you what, that's a shocking statement. There is no second chance. It's already been said this week. There's no second chance after death.
Amen.
If men will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, they will forever suffer in the torments of a devil's hell.
Amen.
There's no release from that place. There's no crossing the great abyss or the pit. I believe that when Jesus Christ came forth from the grave on the third day, what happened? He led that portion of Hades, which was Abraham's bosom, into the presence of God.
Amen.
Notice, if you will, in the book of the Psalms in the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter of the Psalm, we know that this Psalm is speaking about the Lord. talking about his death, talking about the time when the body rested in the tomb and it saw no corruption. But notice there in the 16th chapter of the book of the Psalms and in verse 9, it says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Now this is the Lord. His flesh rested in hope in that tomb, didn't it? Waiting the resurrection.
Amen.
But notice what it says. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." He says, talking about the Lord? Yes, that's talking about the Lord. "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore."
Amen.
I believe when Jesus Christ came forth from the grave, he changed the place of paradise. You know where the paradise of God is now? It's in the third heaven.
Amen.
That's why the Bible tells us now for the saints of God to die is to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
That's in the third heaven, isn't it?
Amen.
The paradise of God's going to remain there until God takes up the final abode, until there's another heaven that is talked about in the Word of God, a place that we're looking forward to, the eternal abode of the saints.
Amen.
This portion of Scripture that Paul speaks about here in 2 Corinthians lets us in a little bit on something concerning this eternal abode. You know why it's called heaven? Well, why is the third heaven called heaven? I believe it's called heaven because that's the place God dwells. Why is our eternal abode going to be called heaven? I don't believe our eternal abode is going to be off someplace in the universe, someplace far, far. It's not going to be the third heaven. Our eternal abode is not the third heaven. That's the place of abode of the interim state, you might say, the state of departed souls from what? The time of the death until what? Until the rapture and we come back after the tribulation.
You got it.
But God's got another place.
Amen.
And it's called heaven because God's going to dwell there with his people. There's a lot that can be said about this tonight, but let me just say three things. There are three things primarily we want to bring before you tonight, and it's all found in that text verse there in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. It talks about that we have there a more or better and enduring substance. Notice in that portion of Scripture, verse 34 of that portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians, excuse me, not 2 Corinthians, or Hebrews. I'll get to it pretty soon. Hebrews, in the 10th chapter, verse 34. It says, "Knowing in yourselves." Now, there's some things we do know. And one of the things we do know is that we have a better and enduring substance in heaven. What's your ideas of heaven? You know, everybody's got their idea of what heaven's like. If you look at the ideas that most religious people have of heaven, it's nothing more than what? Kind of a floating around in some, you know, space and clouds and all of that stuff, you know, as if heaven was nothing more than just a condition of soul or a state of mind. You know. But this portion of Scripture reveals unto me that heaven has real substance to it. Real substance to it. Just as much as this wood's got substance to it. And you can touch it and you can feel it and you can smell it and you can look at it and see it. Heaven is the same way. The final abode for the saints of God, you can mark it down, is a real, tangible place.
Amen. Amen, brother.
A real place.
Right.
Listen over here in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and consider some things that we find here.
Amen.
We find in this portion of Scripture about Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham sojourned upon this earth, didn't he? And he always kept what? His eye on a better substance.
Amen.
He was heir of all things.
Amen.
But yet notice what the Bible says here. In the book of Hebrews, in verse 11. Well, let's read verse 8. It says, "But by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out of into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise." Why did he sojourn in that land? He knew it wasn't his final abode.
Amen.
That's right. Notice what it says there in the next verse.
Amen.
"For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God."
Amen.
He looked for a city. You know what Abraham was looking for? In the New Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen,
that's the city.
Yeah.
Notice as we read down a little bit further. Notice down here in verse 13. He says, "All these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth."
Amen.
"For what? For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country."
Amen.
"And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city."
Amen.
I tell you what, the language in the Word of God tells me it's a place.
Amen.
It's a real place.
That's right.
I can remember when I was pastoring at New Hope over here, we used to go down and see a man in the nursing home which was a paraplegic. He was saved by the grace of God, and we used to talk to him about, you know, this heaven or this world's not our home. We're looking for a better place. And he made the statement one day. He says, "Do you really believe that heaven is like it says in the book of Revelation, that there's going to be streets of gold and all these other things?" He says, "You really believe that that's going to be the way it is?" I says, "I sure do."
Amen.
I believe it's a tangible place.
Yes, sir.
I believe it's a real place.
Amen.
We find that the Bible also tells us that in the book of 2 Peter, notice there, the book of 2 Peter, you know, this earth that we're on right now is kept in store for a great purging.
That's right. Amen.
It's kept in store under fire. God's not going to destroy it again by a flood, but he's going to destroy it by fire. Notice what it says here in the book of 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Everything you see around you is going to be destroyed one day.
Amen.
Everything. That's why you better hold very lightly to temporal things. Because this is not an enduring substance.
Right. Amen.
It's going to be done away with one of these days.
Right.
It's going to melt with fervent heat. And then it's noticed as it goes on, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness."
Amen.
We look for a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
God's going to make everything new again.
Amen.
Just as Noah, when he came forth from that ark, didn't recognize the world that he'd entered into. God changed it with a great flood. God's going to purge this old earth. He's going to make it a fit place for his people.
Amen.
To dwell in.
Amen.
The meek shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Bible says?
Right.
And surely we will. But we look for a new heaven and a new earth, don't we?
Amen.
That's why we say this world is not our home. We look for a better and enduring substance. A heaven. We find that it's got to be a real place. Because it's going to be inhabited by real people.
Amen.
You and I.
Right.
We're going to be fully satisfied when we awake in His likeness.
Amen.
And we're going to have a body like the body of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, the body of Jesus Christ was no phantom.
Amen.
It was a tangible body, was it not?
Amen.
Did not the body of Jesus Christ have flesh and bone?
Yes, it did.
It was a spiritually fitted body. It could do a lot of things this body can't do. But I tell you what, it was tangible. He said, take and handle me.
Yes, that's what he said.
Amen.
Did not Jesus Christ also eat in their presence?
That's right.
It just seems inconceivable to me that God would make it tangible bodies for the saints to live in and not a tangible place for them to dwell in.
Amen.
I believe heaven is going to be a real place.
Amen.
A tangible place. Just as real as what we see around
Amen,
us.
Brother.
In this place. It's really a substance. A substance. Well, let's consider another thing. It's going to be a better place too, isn't it?
Yes,
isn't that what it says in that portion of Scripture?
Yes,
we know in ourselves that in heaven we've got a better and enduring substance.
Yes,
this world, if it gave you every pleasure that you could experience, if this world gave unto you every bit of wealth that it could muster, it would not compare
right.
to heaven.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Never would.
That's right.
Heaven's a better place.
That's right.
It's a better place. In fact, it's going to be so much better that this old world is never going to come into remembrance again.
That's right.
Notice, if you will, again back in the book of Isaiah. If you'll notice there in the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah, in verse 17 and 18, he says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind."
Amen.
Never going to be that you're going to ever think about this old world. Why?
Amen.
Because that world is going to be so much better.
Amen.
So much better. You know, when you get something brand new, you're kind of just taken up with it, and you kind of forget the old thing. You know, like you had an old car, an old clunker that was giving you a lot of problems, and you got rid of that thing, got a brand new car. Tell you, as soon as you got that brand new car, you was all taken up with that new car. That old car didn't come in remembrance anymore, did it? That's the way heaven's going to be. It's going to be such a better place that the old place is just not going to be in remembrance anymore. That's what it says in verse 18. It says, "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A joy.
Yeah.
Wonderful place. A better place.
Right. Right.
It's going to be inhabited by perfect people. That's one reason it's going to be a better place.
Amen.
A better place. Perfect bodies.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
Perfect bodies. Perfect moral bodies. In this world, I tell you what causes us to groan and complain more than anything else as believers? It's that old sinful nature that's still in us, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
We long to be clothed upon with that tabernacle which is on high, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And that's our testimony all the days of our life here. Because that old body of death just keeps dragging us down. That old body of sin. That old sinful nature that dwells within us. But there, that's not going to happen.
Amen.
It's not going to be there. Tell you what, that's going to be one of the wonders of it.
Yes, sir.
Perfect people.
Yes.
Dwelling in a perfect place. Imperfection is so much a part of our life here that we just cannot comprehend what perfection is going to be like.
Amen, brother. Amen.
We don't know. I don't know what a day is like without sin. I don't know what a day is like without struggling against this world and against the devil and against my old sinful nature. I don't know what it's like.
Right.
But thanks be unto God, one day I'm going to experience what it's like.
Amen.
In a better place.
Amen.
And that's one of the things that's going to make it better. But we find also there's going to be complete harmony in that place.
Yes. Amen.
A perfect people, there's not going to be any more wars, no more arguments, no more quarrels, no more disagreements, no more crime. Because there's not going to be any anything in that place that'll enter in that'll defile it.
Right.
It's going to be a perfect people in a place where there's not going to be any more. You know, perfect love is going to reign in that place.
Right.
Perfect love. You read sometime the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians and find out the character of perfect love. And you'll find out it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. What perfect love is all about. But that's what's going to happen. All the problems we have in this world arises out of what? Our old carnal lusts. Whether it be in church or society, politics, whatever it is. Carnal lusts. Where do wars and fightings come from among you? Do they not even come from your own lust, which war against your members?
Yes, amen.
Sure, in there it's not going to be any such thing, is there? Jesus says, as long as you're here on this earth, you're going to have wars, and there's going to be rumors of wars.
Yeah.
But in that place, there's not going to be any disagreements, no wars. Tell you what, it's going to be perfect harmony in every aspect. Every aspect of it. Even amongst the children of God, there's a lot of divisions on this earth. But in heaven, they're all going to be of the same doctrine. That's right. Same truth. Going to be perfect harmony of society. You're not going to have to lock your doors at night.
You're
not going to have to lock your doors when you go through certain sections of town. You're not going to have to worry about the treasure you've laid up, whether a thief will come in and steal it or not. Perfect harmony. All the natural evils of this world are going to be done away with too. Coming in the springtime, tornado season. Some people are just scared death tornadoes. Out there where Brother Hancock used to pastor in California, earthquakes, floods, mudslides, all kinds of natural disasters. It's not going to be in that place.
Amen.
Not going to have to worry about those things. Notice in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, you'll find in that 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it talks about what? It talks about this creation being what? Delivered into the liberty of the sons of God. Notice what it says there in verse 18 of the 8th chapter of Romans. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation, or the creature, shall be made, or was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also, creation, shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Amen.
You know, all this earthquakes and all of the tornadoes and all of the floods and everything that are natural disasters as far as this world is concerned, nothing more than the groanings of this world that has been placed under the curse of sin. One day it's going to be relieved of it all.
Amen.
Not going to have to worry about tornadoes. Not going to have to worry about floods. Not going to have to worry about earthquakes.
Amen.
It's all going to be perfect peace.
Amen. Amen.
In that place.
Amen.
Not going to have to worry about getting old there either.
Amen.
Not going to have to worry about sickness coming either.
Amen.
Not going to have to worry about death anymore.
Because
all those things are going to pass away for this life. I like what it says in the book of Revelation in the 21st chapter there. When it says there, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Amen.
It's all going to be done away with in that place. This world is looking for the spring of eternal life.
Amen.
It's in Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's there. In that place, we're not going to grow old. We're not going to have sickness.
Amen.
None of those things. But the most blessed part of the whole thing is we're going to have unbroken fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
Unbroken.
That's going to be the glory of it.
Amen.
The glory of it. Notice, if you will, back in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, you'll find there that there's not going to be any dark clouds to pass between us and Him anymore.
Amen.
This world, our fellowship with God is sporadic and broken.
Yeah.
There are days when we sit on high mountaintops with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can mark it down. There are going to be those days when the clouds of our sin passes between us and Him.
Amen.
Never going to be any more frown in that place. God upon our disobedience and our waywardness.
Amen.
There in the book of Revelation, in that 22nd chapter, it tells us there. It says there in verse 5. Well, let's read here, starting in verse 3. It says, and there shall be no more curse. Talking about the curse of sin. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face. And His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no more night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There's not going to be any more darkness there to separate between us and our God. Eternal light. The countenance of God and the blessings of God shall shine upon us all the time. In that place. And we shall behold His face forever and forever. You talk about the height of joy and the extreme of blessing.
Amen.
That 16th Psalm, we read that verse. It says, in Thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. I know and realize that what I'm saying to you tonight, I don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's beyond my comprehension. It's like a dream to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
But it's a sure dream.
Yes, sir.
It's a sure dream.
Amen.
The last thought we want to bring before you, it's an eternal place.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
It says there we have not only a better substance, but an enduring substance.
Amen. Don't go about on and on.
That's right.
God. Amen.
It's not going to end.
That's right.
Amen. Never going to end. You know, we've got a saying in this life, it says all good things must come to an end. In this life, it generally does.
Amen.
You know. But there it's going to be glory forever and forever and forever and forever. What ruined the first paradise of God? The devil did, didn't he? Brought sin. He introduced sin upon the scene. Devil's not going to be in that place.
Amen.
Not having any access at all to that place. Because the Bible tells us that, well, the new heaven and new earth exist, and the devil is going to be in the lake of fire which has been prepared for him, and the smoke of his torment is going to rise up forever and ever.
Amen.
He's never again going to be loosed upon the scene of humanity. Never again go about to deceive the nations. Never again be loosed in the paradise of God. Not going to happen. I like what it says here in this portion of Scripture in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, where it says there in verse 27, There shall in no wise enter into it any that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
Devil's not going to have any more access.
That's right. Amen.
He's not going to be able to rain havoc anymore upon the creation of God. It's an enduring place. It's a place that's just going to get better and better and better and better. I like what Peter said in 1 Peter. He says, to an inheritance, undefiled, uncorruptible, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. Fadeth not away. We get things in this earth and that fade away, don't they? Before too long, you buy something brand new and the fancy wears off and it just kind of fades away, you know. Heaven's never going to be that way. It's never going to fade away. And I tell you what, we're never going to fall. God is going to uphold us by His marvelous grace.
Amen.
And we're going to have access to the tree of life.
Amen.
The tree of life.
Amen.
What we've said to you tonight, I tell you what, words cannot explain it.
Amen.
I just know what it's a better and enduring place. There's a lot of things we could have said about the New Jerusalem. The beauty of it, the wonder of it, the magnificence of it is Jesus Christ, who is the temple of it. But it's called heaven because the Bible tells us that it's the place that God is going to abode with His people forever and ever. There in that first verses of the 21st chapter, Revelation says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. That's why it's called heaven. It's the place where God dwells. People. But there's one thing that we need to close with. We need to realize and understand that there's another place too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's just as real as heaven is. And I think in this 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, God didn't want us to keep lose sight of that either. That while we're enjoying those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have repented and trusted in the Lord are enjoying the blessings of this new heaven and new earth, this heaven of God, this better and enduring substance. There are those that are going to be suffering in a literal lake of fire.
Amen.
That 21st chapter, he talks about there's all those things are passed away, there's no more death for us. Then he goes down in verse 5 and he says, and he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are the words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then he says, but... He didn't want us to lose sight of this too. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Amen.
The Lord hasn't come back and taken us out of this earth yet because there's still something to be done.
Amen, brother.
We've got a message of deliverance to preach. Deliverance of salvation.
Yes, sir.
We count the long-suffering of the Lord what? Salvation, don't we?
Yeah.
He hasn't come back because He's still saving souls.
Amen.
And we have a responsibility, as it has been impressed throughout this conference, a responsibility to tell folks about the Lord. The privilege of telling people about the saving grace of our God in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And let us be concerned for their souls.
Amen.
God's going to save whom He wants. But it is our privilege and responsibility to tell the good news. To spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to every soul.
Amen.
Tell them about the good news.
Amen.
That there is forgiveness with God. There's reconciliation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Amen.
And that through Jesus Christ, they can know that heaven's going to be their home. I know many people think that we're very presumptuous in thinking that tonight. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you know it.
Amen.
For in yourselves, you know that in heaven, you've got a better an enduring substance. And we're looking forward to it. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, come along.
Yes, amen.
There's nothing that stands in your way tonight of salvation except your own pride and sin. The Bible says if you will humble yourself, if you'll repent of your sins. That simply means acknowledge the truth.
Amen.
Acknowledge the truth of your sin. Acknowledge the truth